P&I Qualification, Module 1, Chapter 1. In this chapter, you will study Global Economics and Transport by Sea, which has a knowledge rating of 2, and Significant Trade Routes for the Carriage of Commodities and Foodstuffs, also with a knowledge rating of 2. Global Economics and Transport by Sea. Throughout the course of history, the sea has been a key factor in man's survival and development. In addition to its vast benefits as a natural resource, throughout the ages, the sea has provided a means of transportation for people in exploration of more distant lands and for goods carried in trade or for support of communities or ventures. It has also served as a means of projecting power quickly and secretly across short distances and across vast distances. Though voyage by sea are subject to substantial navigational and weather-related risks, and piracy, disease and unseaworthiness could also impede their success, the sea was also a good place to hide, and with over 70% of the Earth's surface covered by water and overland routes often facing even greater perils from natural, political and lawless dangers making them inhospitable, the ability to move people and goods by sea became an important benefit. Countries whose leaders or merchants developed maritime transportation often grew wealthy and powerful as a result. For island nations, the sea was the principal means of international trade, and many nations with substantial coastlines used maritime dominance to gather new knowledge and to forge and maintain empires, whilst sometimes also spreading disease, which decimated native populations and exploited resources and peoples. Even today, with the development of faster forms of transportation such as aircraft and complex rail and road networks, 90% of world trade still travels by sea. The principal benefits of the trade include cost savings from economies of scale, including energy savings per ton mile, simpler logistics and administration, access to cheaper and larger quantities of raw materials and fuel, and generally safer movement of goods, especially dangerous goods. There are 44 universally recognized countries in the world without a sea border that are enclosed or nearly enclosed by land or landlocked. Given that historically this was regarded as a position of disadvantage, international agreements have been reached to provide those countries with access to the sea. One example of this is the convention that made the River Danube an international waterway by granting sea access to Austria, Hungary, and Slovakia. The United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea now gives landlocked countries rights of access to and from the sea. Even if a country has a long coastline, not all of it may be readily accessible. In the case of Russia, for example, the northern ports and some in the east are severely climate limited. This is the reason why access to warm water ports in the Black Sea was historically so important for Russia. Historic maps show various regular trade routes along the oceans of the world, and the concept of a regular pattern of linked ports continues to this day. Local traffic will move close to the coast, generally in smaller vessels, and some of those vessels will act as feeders, taking cargo to and from larger ports which act as hubs for the vessels performing the long-haul routes. Sometimes these hub ports are the only ports in the region that can handle the scale of vessels used in deep-sea transportation, making use of the economies of scale. In the book is a map of a regular eastbound route that Maersk has advertised, which crosses from Asia to North America. Check the websites of other shipping lines to find out what information they provide about the routes their vessels take. Commodities and their origins. Now that many foodstuffs once regarded as seasonal are more widely available in the supermarket all year round, and the ready availability of many other items which form part of daily life in the developed world is assumed, it is well to remember where various commodities originate and the nature of the journeys they undertake to get to their respective markets. For example, concentrated milk is a major export of New Zealand, with China in the northern hemisphere the biggest importer. Brazilian coffee importers are mainly Europe, the US and Japan, but travels from South America all over the world. Bananas are exported widely from South America to the furthest of ports and have to be delivered quickly to avoid over-ripening. This knowledge is particularly relevant to insurers who provide physical damage insurance for the various cargoes. It is equally important for liability insurers as part of their wider knowledge of the business in which they are engaged. Commodities are goods which are bought and sold by traders around the world, generally in large quantities or bulk. They fall into several main categories. Whilst a considerable portion of world trade consists of finished products coming in particular from Asia Pacific to North America and Europe in containers, sea carriage is particularly suited for the carriage of raw materials because of their sheer mass. This often makes it too costly commercially to use other forms of transportation to move the volumes required around the world. Crude oil and its derivatives. This commodity tends not to be produced in the areas of the world that consume the majority of it. Hence, North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific are all net importers, despite the USA having access to both the Mexican Gulf and the Alaskan oil fields. In 2019, the top 10 net crude exporters, not necessarily the same as the top 10 producers, were Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iraq, Canada, United States of America, United Arab Emirates, Nigeria, Kuwait, Kazakhstan, and Norway. Different types of crude oil have different viscosities and densities. It can be a major challenge to get it safely to destination, and then to offload the complete quantity there. Practical problems arise from the necessity to keep it fluid enough to avoid it clinging to the tanks and pipelines of the ship. Some crude oils are nearly solid unless kept at a carriage temperature. Should the cargo not be carried at the right temperature, difficulties are likely to arise at discharge, and there will be the potential for claims from cargo receivers for short landing. It is virtually impossible to empty the cargo tanks completely, though crude oil washing, or COW, greatly improves outturns. Some so-called unpumpable residues, known as remaining on board, or ROB, will remain, and this factor is well recognised in the industry, such that the onboard quantity, or OBQ, will be measured before the next cargo is loaded on top. If the ROB is beyond what is normal, it is also possible that claims will arise between shipowners and charterers related to this quantity, the outcome of which may depend on the voyage heating instructions, whether those instructions were followed, and whether the ROB was found to be liquid, reachable, and pumpable. Refining of crude oil will produce various petrochemical derivatives. The trade is generally segmented into clean and dirty, and tankers will generally operate in one or other segment, as a high level of cleaning is required to move from dirty products, which may include fuel oil, to clean products such as gasoline or gas oil. The safe carriage of all petroleum is challenging, but clean petroleum products may pose a higher risk of ignition and have a tight specification. Disputes regarding contamination of products sometimes arise, and their outcome will often depend on tank cleaning history and analysis of representative samples of the cargo at various stages. Gas. The term gas generally refers to one of two generic groups of products, namely liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, and liquefied natural gas, LNG. LPG consists mainly of propane and butane, and is non-corrosive, odourless and colourless. Propane boils at minus 43 degrees centigrade and butane at minus 0.5 degrees centigrade. LPG is generally transported both chilled and compressed so that it maintains a liquid state. LNG consists mainly of methane and boils at a far lower temperature than LPG, minus 160 degrees centigrade. Reducing either of these gases to a liquid reduces their volume considerably, by 600 times, thus facilitating transportation from the production location to the final destination. Transport is affected by purpose-built vessels. LNG and LPG both require liquefaction terminals in the exporting country, and at the other end of the journey, receiving or regasification terminals in the importing countries. Exporting facilities are located in countries such as Algeria, Australia, Indonesia, Libya, Malaysia, Nigeria, Norway, Oman, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates, whilst importation facilities exist in Belgium, China, France, India, Japan, South Korea, the USA, and the UK, amongst others. Review the website for Dragon LNG and see how natural gas is used in the UK, both domestically and commercially. Coal. Coal derives from peat that has undergone changes in temperature and in pressure over millennia to create progressively soft lignite or brown coal, bituminous coal, and hard anthracite coal. This is produced principally in China, India, the USA, Indonesia, Australia, Russia, and South Africa. It is commonly exported from Indonesia, Australia, and Russia to China, India, and Japan. In Europe, Germany and Turkey are major importers. Coal has the propensity to self-heat or emit noxious and flammable gases. The safe carriage of such cargoes is subject to the International Maritime Organization's International Maritime Solid Bulk Cargo Code, IMSBC code. The key element of this code is that shippers must provide sufficient information relating to both the physical and chemical properties of the cargo being loaded, including whether it is liable to self-heat or emit methane gas. To control these risks, ships' crews are required to monitor the temperature of coal during loading and carriage and to test the atmosphere of the holds for hydrogen sulfide, methane, and carbon monoxide at regular intervals. Due to the complex nature of the risks, including fire or explosion, and the related remedies, it is therefore important that findings of excess gases and/or temperatures are shared with the coal experts so that prompt and precise advice is obtained on the best control actions. Ores. Ores are natural rock or sediments containing valuable minerals or metals. Apart from major ores like bauxite containing aluminium or various nickel or copper ores, iron ore is the most commonly exported ore, predominantly by Australia, Brazil, South Africa, Canada, and the Ukraine. The vast majority of iron ore is exported to the Asia-Pacific region, in particular to meet the increasing demand of the Chinese steel mills. Bauxite, aluminium ore, is produced mainly in Australia, China, Brazil, Indonesia, Guinea, and India, and exported to Northern Europe. The safe carriage of ores is subject to the IMSBC code, but a number of ores, particularly if in fine grains or containing significant moisture, present a greater danger to the vessel. Should these ores exceed their transportable moisture limit, TML, the vibration of the ship can cause liquefaction, creating an unstable slurry in the cargo holds which will compromise the stability of the vessel, leading to risk of capsize, particularly in rough weather. Shippers of such cargoes are required to analyse the cargo's moisture content, MC, flow moisture point, FMP, and TML, and provide the vessel with a declaration of the cargo group listed by the IMSBC code, as well as the MC and TML. Masters need to be watchful of this type of cargo and will often carry out pre-loading can tests to reveal the propensity for liquefaction. Cement. There are many types of cement, but the most common one is ordinary Portland cement, produced from limestone and other minerals, which are heated to form hard clinker before being ground and mixed with gypsum. Cement is produced principally by countries such as China, India, and the United States of America, Turkey, Brazil, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, and given its use as a basic building material, is imported in most countries. Large shipments will tend to be in bulk, but cement can be carried both as bagged and containerized cargo. It's important to take into account the various different grades of cement when it is carried in bulk, as they differ in their specific gravities and therefore the volume of each that can be loaded. Some cements are very dusty cargoes, so their chance of contaminating other cargoes or shoreside facilities is high. Care should be taken at loading and unloading to cover other cargoes to prevent contamination and to prevent any ingress of water. Hold cleaning after the carriage of bulk cement can be problematic. Fish meal. Fish meal is a protein-rich substance obtained from fish and used as a food supplement for poultry and other animals. It can also be used as a fertilizer. Over 80% of the world's production comes from just 10 countries, with Peru and Chile dominant. Fish meal is now used worldwide, particularly in the fish farming industry. For more information, see the IFFO, the Marine Ingredients Organization website. Fish meal is a cargo that is susceptible to spontaneous combustion. When carried in bulk, it is subject to the IMO-IMSBC code. Ships should be fitted with firefighting systems that can fill the hold with carbon dioxide. Cargoes are treated with an antioxidant before being loaded to minimise the chances of heating and spontaneous combustion. Certification relating to the antioxidant treatment should be provided to the carrier at the time of loading. Fish meal is also extremely pungent. It can be a major taint risk to any other cargoes being carried. It can be carried in bulk, bags or containers, but the need for watchfulness in relation to cargo heating is equally relevant for all three methods. The stowed cargo is fitted with thermocouple temperature sensors, and readings are recorded at regular intervals throughout the carriage. Fertilizer. This commodity historically included organic fertilizers such as guano, bone meal, and dried blood. But it is more common today to ship mineral-derived fertilizers such as potash and modern synthetic fertilizers such as monoammonium phosphate, MAP, and diammonium phosphate, DAP. A fertilizer is a product that is added to soil to provide nutrients for the plants being grown, so most fertilizers have the same basic chemical components in varying proportions. The leading urea exports include China, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, Iran, and Egypt. Fertilizers are mostly carried in bulk. This enhances their hygroscopic, water-attracting potential, and when they dry out again, they can cake. Any fertilizers containing ammonium salts or urea must not come into contact with alkalis, and if heated, they will start to decompose, giving off toxic gases. When carrying these cargoes, care must be taken to ensure that they do not come into contact with hot surfaces or steam pipes or cargo lamps. Furthermore, no hot work such as welding should be done in the vicinity of fertilizer cargo. Clean holds are very important for the carriage of fertilizers. Residues of cargoes such as grain are of particular concern, as there is a danger that if grain is diseased, the fertilizer will also become infected. If the fertilizer were then applied on land, the disease or infestation would potentially become far more widespread. Foodstuffs. Wheat is exported to Africa, Northern Europe, Saudi Arabia, and the Asia-Pacific region, principally from the United States of America, Canada, France, Australia, Russia, and Germany. The safe carriage of grain and related products is governed by the IMO Code for the Safe Carriage of Grain in Bulk, SCGB. It is very important that at the time of loading, the holds are completely clean. No loose rust scale and no residues of previous cargo can be allowed, even if they were grain cargoes. Insect infestation can be prevented by appropriate fumigation. If the cargo arrives contaminated, cargo interests will bring claims against the carrier. Fumigation of grain cargoes is often carried out on board, and great care needs to be taken to ensure that this is done professionally, to avoid the risks of toxic gases escaping the holds to the crew accommodation, and to avoid the risk of the fumigation process, which involves exothermic chemical reactions, leading to the development of fires. The stability of the ship during loading is vital. Grain loading is subject to detailed rules and regulations contained within the SCGB code. Failure to comply with these can lead to delays, additional claims, and costs which might fall on either the ship owner or the charterer. Soybeans. These are produced primarily in the USA, Brazil, and Argentina, and are shipped to the Asia-Pacific region and Northern Europe. Maize is another commonly shipped grain. Cocoa is mainly produced in the Ivory Coast, Indonesia, Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, Brazil, and Ecuador, and is shipped practically everywhere in the world. Sugar comes in two forms. Sugar beet is viable in northern climates, and sugar cane requires a warmer climate. The main sugar exporting countries are Brazil, Thailand, Australia, India, and Mexico. It is shipped everywhere in the world. Although beet sugar can be grown in colder climates, over 75% of the world production comes in cane form. Coffee. The top five coffee exporters are Brazil, Vietnam, Indonesia, Colombia, and Ethiopia. The largest importers are the US, Germany, Italy, France, and Japan. Sugar, coffee, and cocoa suffer from a common problem when they are transported in bulk by ship. Condensation damage is a real risk in this trade, because cargoes usually come from a warmer climate to a colder one. Cocoa and coffee both have the tendency to sweat and give off moisture if not ventilated properly. Sugar is hydroscopic and attracts moisture, including that given off by a sweating cargo, and can also suffer very badly from moisture damage. Cargo carried on a vessel with poor ventilation or without watertight holds risks arriving severely damaged at destination. However, the carriage conditions are not always at fault, and expert input is often required to determine the actual cause of damage discovered, which may include a high moisture content. Ventilation is not always possible or effective, and moisture inherent in bulk grains will migrate on a voyage, and may more likely lead to some damage on longer voyages. Rice. Although usually carried in bags, rice is another common cargo and one of the world's principal foods that can suffer moisture damage and infestation. Fresh fruit and vegetables. Much of what appears on the supermarket shelves today has travelled a long way to get there, often by ship. Fruit and vegetables are living organisms, so they breathe, giving off carbon dioxide. If this respiration is not controlled, it will create heat. This will cause the fruit and vegetables eventually to rot and decompose. This natural tendency is what insurers call inherent vice, a characteristic or intrinsic attribute of a commodity concerned, and this factor can also be relevant to damage to grain cargoes. Although this intrinsic process cannot be avoided, it can be mitigated by the ship owner controlling the atmosphere in which the goods are carried. This can be solved by ventilation, several air changes will be needed each hour, or by refrigeration, which slows the process down. Often the challenge for the ship owner is to manage the various needs of different types of cargoes, even if they are all fruit and vegetables. Apples need to be carried in a certain way, bananas in another, and citrus fruit in yet another. Each cargo must be kept away from any other that might damage or be damaged by. Commodities of these types used to be carried in so-called general cargo or breakbulk ships, or in ships equipped with refrigeration, the so-called reefer ships. Today they are more commonly carried in containers which are equipped so that the atmosphere between which container may be controlled by ventilation or refrigeration. Where a cargo arrives damaged by inherent vice, the loss will probably fall upon the cargo owner. The reasons for this are cargo owners rarely cover inherent vice, and carriers by sea may have a specific defence to claims for inherent vice under the contract of carriage. Cotton. Cotton is exported mainly from the USA, India, Australia, Brazil, and Uzbekistan, and is exported mainly to China, Indonesia, Turkey, Bangladesh, and Vietnam. Raw cotton is highly inflammable, has a tendency to ignite spontaneously, and is subject to the IMDG code, which lays down rules for the safe transportation by sea of dangerous cargoes. Loading cotton requires great care, including the prior priming of the ship's firefighting equipment and the use of battery-operated forklift trucks. Should fire break out at sea, the only option is to seal the hatches and then flood the holds with carbon dioxide. Steel. Steel is a key commodity. It's used for the building of ships and forms an important part of many manufactured items. The world's largest steel export producer is China, followed by Japan, South Korea, Russia, and Germany. Steel comes in a number of different forms, from partly processed ingots or slabs to semi-finished products such as hot roll coils and wire rod, and finished products such as pipes, tubes, cold rolled coils, rebar, and tin-plated steel for the food industry. As the semi-finished items will be further processed at the place of destination, they are not generally wrapped for shipment, but should be given some protection against moisture by a coating of oil or grease. Even some stainless steels are not immune to rusting to some degree, so that even unwrapped items need to be protected from moisture. Finished items should be appropriately packed. Both finished and semi-finished steel products are prone to damage through bad handling, particularly by loading machinery, and may be adversely affected by seawater. Motor vehicles. Motor vehicles, both commercial and private consumer based, are a major export and import product for many countries. The principal exporters of motor vehicles are Germany, the USA, and Japan. In the textbook, there is an example of a typical car carrier trade route. In this case, Wallenius Wilhelmsen Logistics, where the voyage brings vehicles from Asia for discharge at European ports. Containers. The use of a standard size metal box in which to transport goods on different modes of transport was invented and patented in 1956 by Malcolm McLean, the owner of a large US trucking company. He wanted to speed up the slow process of loading and discharging cargo on a piece-by-piece basis, the norm at that time for moving cargo from trucks to trains, to ships and into warehouses. The basic concept of containerization is simple. The container is a standard size steel or aluminium box which is robust enough to carry a variety of various cargoes, to withstand being loaded and unloaded from different means of transport, and to bear the weight of other containers being stacked on top of it. Over the last 50 years, the standard dimensions of a container have remained more or less constant: 20 or 40 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 8.6 feet high. A basic 20-foot container is described as a TEU, 20-foot equivalent unit, and this is the measure in which the capacity of all container ships is stated. A 40-foot container is therefore two TEUs. Although originally developed for dry cargoes, containers now exist in a number of specialist types, generally conforming to the standard external shape and size. Containers are now also available for carrying liquids and refrigerated cargoes, as well as those of unusual shape and size, for which a container with no top, an open top container, or open sides, a flat rack, is appropriate. Within the textbook, you will see a map showing a number of major seaborne container trade routes: Asia to Europe and Australia, for car parts, electrical goods, clothes and toys. Australia to Asia, meat and dairy products, metals, timber, scrap metals. Europe to Asia, chemicals, timber, machinery, alcohol and metals. Europe to Africa, car parts, chemicals, paper, machinery, electronics. Africa to Europe, fruit, cocoa, copper. India to Asia, cotton, machinery, food products. The Middle East to Asia, aluminium, petroleum products, scrap metal. Asia to the Middle East, cars, machinery, and textiles.